Well, let's come to the scriptures. Psalm 42. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in thee. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites, from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy water sprouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God my rock, Why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. So reads God's holy word. Now we thought this morning, I pray that we were encouraged. And if we ever get cast down, just to think about the sermon this morning, where we were told that our salvation is secure. It's secure forever and ever. And the reason it's secure forever and ever is because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His power never changes. His person never changes. His purpose never changes. He came into the world to save sinners. And he's still saving sinners. We saw this morning at the work, yesterday, spoke about the day of salvation. That was the work of salvation. And today is the day when that salvation is being fulfilled. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. And tomorrow, or forever, talks about tomorrow, that we're going to be with him. But the psalmist here is cast down. Verse 5 and verse 11, it talks about a countenance, two countenances. Verse 5 talks about his countenance. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. And then verse 11, why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. The heading, as I said this morning, the heading for us tonight is, his countenance will change our countenance. His smile will cause us to smile. But if we cause God to have that frown, then we will frown. We will be cast down. So his countenance will change our countenance. When I was thinking about this, I was thinking about things that could cast us down. And I was thinking about Paul. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17, he talks about his afflictions. And he talks about his afflictions be in light. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and 17. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, worketh for us far more exceeding an eternal weight. It's a wonderful encouragement for the Christian today as we are all growing older. Paul says here, but though our outward man perish, and we're all getting older, and we're all getting frailer, but our inward man never changes. I was thinking about this tonight, before I came in, that the soul has no age. The soul's eternal, so it cannot have an age. I might be wrong in this, in my thinking, but this is the way I see it, that when there's conception in the womb, the child has a soul. And that soul is, as I said this morning, when God created the earth, he created it mature. I believe that the soul is mature when there's a conception. It's the body that grows, it's the body that dies, but the soul doesn't. And this is a wonderful verse of scripture for our encouragement. Although our outward man's perishing, the inward man is renewed every day. The soul never gets old. Because it tells us in the beginning of Genesis that when God breathed into man, into his nostrils, he became a living soul. And anything that's eternal surely hasn't an age. God has no age. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And this is a wonderful verse of scripture to encourage us for those of us who are getting old, and we're all getting old. We might be perishing, but the inward man is being renewed every day. And Paul talks about his afflictions being light. Now, he's not trying, I would say, to be funny and thinking, well, we shouldn't bother about what happens to us. Paul's going to tell us about his afflictions. He tells us about his afflictions in Acts chapter 14 and verse 19. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit the disciples stood round about him, and he arose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. It tells us there something how he describes these light afflictions. He was left for dead. Left for dead. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Again, it tells us there what his afflictions were. And I don't think there's anyone here tonight could say amen to Paul. I've experienced the same as you, Paul. Listen to what he experienced. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labours more abundantly. In stripes above measure. In prisons more frequently. In deaths often. Of the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often. In perils of water. In perils of robbers. In perils of mine own countrymen. In perils by the heathen. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea. In perils among false brethren. In weariness and painfulness, in watchfulness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? And yet he talks about light afflictions. and night and a day cast in the sea. Beaten with rods, left for dead, stoned. And yet he could say, my light afflictions. So how does he call them light afflictions? How can he call them light afflictions? I've heard people saying, I've got a really bad cold. I can't come out. I've got a really bad cold. How did Paul deal with his afflictions? How could he deal with his afflictions? The same way as the psalmist dealt with his affliction, the people saying to him every day, where is your God? If things are happening as they are, where's God? Have you not been asked that question? I've been asked that question. Children are dying. Old people are dying. There's wars. There's rumours of wars. If God's in charge, why are all these things happening? And this was the same with the psalmist. People kept saying to him, where is your God? He doesn't exist. And it got onto his mind and it cast him down. So how was Paul able to bear and call these afflictions light? I would mention two things. Something that we've already got and something that we're given. And these two things is this. Our memory is something we've already got. And the second thing is faith. Something that we've been given. Now you might think to yourself, I've never heard anyone preaching on the memory. But how could Paul's memory cause him to say these afflictions are just light and they're only for a period? Well, I've got some verses of scriptures that I've looked up that tell us concerning our memory. And as we get older, our memories go. And we should try to be like the psalmist who says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. When he says that, it's the memory. Because that's where everything goes. And that's where we remember. That's when we say, when we come round the table, do this in remembrance of me. God gave us a memory. Jesus Christ had a memory. God has a memory. He has thoughts. God says, my thoughts towards you are thoughts of good and not of evil. We were made in the image of God. So if we have a memory, then God has a memory. What does the scripture say? Your sins I will remember no more. If he's not going to remember them, he must have a memory. And I would suggest these two things is what we need when we come into afflictions, to think of them as just being light, because they're only for a short time. The memory and the faith. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. The first thing I would say concerning the memory is this. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The first thing we need to get into our memory is this, that God has said it. God has spoken. And I said this morning that as Paul wrote to Titus, he said, we have a God who cannot lie. The reading this morning was from Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8. I am the Lord, I change not. God has said it. When I was joined the mission, I was sent to Forest Hill, and I was under the auspice of a senior missionary, Clem Cousins, and he had this van, and he had a sticker in the front of the van which said, God has said it, I believe it, that finishes it. So that's why we've been given a memory, that we might remember things as we read the scriptures. And the first thing Paul would say was, God has said. The second thing we find in 2 Timothy 1:12, he is able. Paul tells us there that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. That's his soul. God has said, and God is able. There's 7 or 8 times that it tells us in the New Testament that God is able. God is able to keep them from the guttermost to the uttermost. And then another thing we need to get in our mind, and the Lord Jesus Christ had a memory, and this is what it tells us there in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. When he was tempted 3 times with Satan, what did Jesus say? It is written. It is written, don't tempt your God. These are things that we've got to get in our memory. These are the things that help us when we are cast down. And we will be cast down because we're only human and we're living in a sinful world. Jesus said, the world hates me, it's going to hate you. And people are going to question our faith. And we've got to be able to remember, God has said, I am your God. Oh, our God, our helper in the past. God is able. If he saved me once, he'll keep me. He only needs to save me once. We're not like these other part of the church, if we can call them a church, who think we can lose our salvation. And then we've got to be saved again and again and again because we're so foolish that we can lose our salvation. We can't lose our salvation. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever. Our security is forever and ever, as we saw this morning. And it's all because of our memory that we remember these things. My friends, we have a friend in one of the churches that I go to, and she's got dementia. We've known her for over 30 years. We were in the same church as her and her husband in London. And I go to the same church down here where they are, and she's no longer able to attend the church. Her memory is gone. But the inner man is being renewed every day. The Holy Spirit is still the same as it was when she was in her right mind. The Holy Spirit is immune from human illnesses. The Holy Spirit is the same yesterday, today, as it will be forever. So we need to use these things. That's why we need to read the scriptures daily and get it into our mind. For times will come, as the Bible says, there's going to be a terrible time before he comes back again. We've got to be ready. We've got to be able to say to other people and to say to ourselves, God has said that Christ is coming back again. God is able. He's able to keep his people and deliver them. That's why Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. If he couldn't keep us, would he be preparing a place for us? Of course he wouldn't. But he is able to keep us. And he's able to deliver us. And Jesus himself says, because Jesus was taught as a child, it tells us he grew in grace and in stature. And when he was taken with his mother and with Joseph to the synagogue, he would have been taught. That's why he was able, when he was 30 years old, to say to Satan, it is written. I remember it's written that God said such and such. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 1, as I said this morning, all his promises are yea and amen. We need to remember, when God promises, it's going to be fulfilled. I've made lots of promises and they've never been fulfilled. Sometimes it was because I didn't want to fulfill them. Other times I forgot to fulfill them. And other times, according to situations, I couldn't fulfill them. But every promise that God has made in His Word will be fulfilled. That's our security. That's what keeps us up. When we start to forget these things, then we'll become like the psalmist here. We'll be cast down. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6. Here's another promise. Paul tells the church there that he is able to finish that which he started. How many jobs have you started and never finished? I'm sure there's jobs that you've started and you've never finished. You want to finish them, but maybe you can't finish them. You're too old now and getting a bit frail, or you don't have the means. But Paul says to the church at Philippi, whatever God has started, He is able to finish. And when He started that work of salvation, He's able to finish it. There's a day coming when the salvation will be finished. As the scripture describes it, night is coming when no man can work. That's a picture of the end of times, when salvation, the work of salvation, will be finished. I don't know who He is. I don't know who she is. But there's going to be someone, the last one to be saved. What a wonderful thought that can be, that is. That sometime in the future, someone's going to be the last person to be saved. And then Christ will make that glorious appearance. And as John tells us in John chapter 5, verses 28 and 26, that He'll call, and all those that are in the graves shall rise. Everyone who's in the graves shall rise. Everyone who has ever died in the time that Christ was here and before that time will rise. You will rise and I will rise. But Daniel says in Daniel chapter 12, some are going to rise to shame and some are going to rise to glory. To rise to shame, my dear friends, is a terrible thing. Because you'll be placed on the left-hand side of the Saviour. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25, those who are unsaved will be placed on my left. And they will be judged. And they will be cast from me for all eternity into the lake that never dries up, to a worm that never dies. Oh, what a terrible situation to be found in. But then there is those on the right-hand side, and He will usher them in to that kingdom that was prepared for us before the foundation of the world. Oh, my dear friends, we need to have our memories packed full of God's Word. Sometimes it gets packed full of other things, things that we watch on the television, things that we may read, even things that we hear on the wireless can fill our mind with terrible things. That's why I said this morning that I put on the helmet of salvation, because it keeps my thoughts. That's why God has given us the armour, that we might stand and we'll be able to withstand. And we don't stand alone. Jesus said, and we were reading that later on, Jesus says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm with you always. Oh, my friends, these things has caused Paul to be able to say these afflictions are light because they don't last long. They're not forever. One day they'll all be gone. And I don't know what our afflictions are. I know what my afflictions are. But it doesn't help, it doesn't worry me too much. But it'll all be gone when this body rises again and I be like Him. Have a new body. Can you imagine it? It's wonderful to have a new car. It's never been driven before. There's no mileage on it. It's wonderful to just sit there and listen to the engine purring and just to be going along the road on the motorway. It's wonderful to have a new suit. When I was up in Scotland 2 years ago, I bought this suit in a place called Stirling Mills. A new suit, and the first time I put it on was when I was going out preaching, and I felt really nice to have a new suit on. Some people in Hirslane Sioux are moving into brand new houses, never been lived in before. The smell of paint's still there. But what about the new body? These new houses will become old. The suit's 2 years old. The new body will never grow old. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I will be the same yesterday, today, and forever when I'm in heaven. What a wonderful thing it is to know that He's able to finish that which He began. And in Jeremiah chapter 29, and I've quoted that this morning, His thoughts concerning us. God has thoughts. He has a memory. He remembers why Christ came. He remembers who Christ died for. He remembers my name. God knows my name. He knows everyone's name who has trusted in His Saviour, His Son. These things are important, my dear friends. We need to grasp them. Malachi chapter 3 verse 6 tells us that God is immutable. He changes not. And again, Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, He's a God who cannot lie. I believe Him. I believe everything that God says. Because He is immutable, as Malachi tells us in chapter 3 and verse 8. He's immutable. He cannot change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if that's not enough, listen to John chapter 6 and verse 37 and to 40. John chapter 6, verse 37 to 40. Listen to what it says. Jesus says to His disciples, and He's saying to you and I tonight, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. This is the work the Father's will, which has sent me, that all of those which he has given me I should lose nothing. There's our security forever and ever. I shall lose nothing, but shall raise it up in the last day. He's talking about it. He's talking about something. And that it is His church. This little church here, the gathering of His people, He will raise us up as a body. But then He goes on to say in verse 40, and this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up. So He's talking about the church, but He's also talking about the individual. He's going to raise His church up, but He's going to raise individuals. And that's what John tells us in John chapter 5. When He calls, the graves will be open, everyone will hear. And John tells us in Revelations that every eye shall see Him. And Paul tells us in Philippians that everyone will acknowledge Him. That includes you, and it includes me. We're going to see Him, and we're going to acknowledge Him to the glory of God the Father. Verse 30, it says, raise it up. That's the church, as I said. Verse 40 says, He'll raise him up, and that's the individual. So what's the first thing that we need to get into store that Paul could say these afflictions were just as nothing? It's our memory. Fill your memory full of God's Word. There's enough dirty books and filthy books and rubbish books that are around now. And many of the young people today are getting their minds full of different filthy things, even in the schools. We need to fill our mind full of God's Word, because that's our memory. It's something we can draw on. Our memory is like our bank. We put money into the bank so that we can draw on it when we need it. And it's like putting God's Word in our mind, and we can draw on it when we need it. And believe me, we will need it. We will need it. So the first thing we can say, that Paul can say, well, these are just light afflictions because they don't last. It's because I remember what God's Word says. And the second thing was faith. Memory is what we've got. Faith is what we have been given. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 tells us there that without faith it's impossible to please God. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith. And 1 Peter 1 5 tells us that we are kept by the power of God through faith. Faith is important. We need to have faith. The Bible says without holiness we won't even see God. You can't have holiness without faith. And you can't have faith and not be holy. Your life has been changed, surely, if you're trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. God uses what he's got, and he also uses what he's given. It tells us here in 1 Peter 1:5, kept by the power of God through faith. There's the power. He uses what he's got. Through faith, he uses what he has given. He always does that. If we need strength, he'll give us strength. If we need more faith, a stronger faith, he'll give us a stronger faith. If we need more joy, he'll give us them. He always gives us what he's got. And he'll always use what he has given us for his glory and for our good and for the good of other people. There's three things that we need to think about quickly, and I don't think I'm going to go through them, but the three things is this. Faith, the question, the cause, and the remedy. What was the question in Psalm 42? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? In verse 5 and verse 11, that was the question. What was the cause? People questioning his faith. And what was the remedy? To remember what God has done for me in the past. The question is twofold. It's a personal question. He questions himself. Why are you cast down in verse 5? But in verse 9, the question is not for himself, but it's to someone else. It's to God. And I will say to God, my rock, why? Why hast thou forsaken me? Or why hast thou forgotten me? So the question is two whys. We question ourselves first and foremost before we question God. And that's the thing that we should never do, really, is to question God, because God knows what he's doing. And then there's the cause. What's the cause? And I have to just rush through this, because time's going on. But what's the cause? Well, I would say there are five things that would cause the soul to be cast down. And I was thinking about Pilgrim's Progress when I was thinking about this. Thinking about Christian and the things that would cause him what he went through. And the first thing I thought was that would cast us down is the length of the way. I forget what the psalm is, but the psalmist says, Lord, show me your ways and teach me your paths and lead me in your truth, for you are the God of my salvation, and on you will I wait all the day. Show me your way And the first thing that can cast us down when we're young Christians is the way, the length of the way. How long have I got to put up with this? I've had to drop certain things. I've had to drop certain friends. I'm going to be alone. And it could cast us down. How long is this going to last? And then there's the enemies that we meet on the way. Christian met Apollyon and he met the hobgoblins and he had to fight with them. And we have our enemies in the world. Jesus said, the world hates me, it will hate you. We have enemies. Go out that door and the first person you see is our enemy. Unless they've come from a church and they're a Christian. Because if they don't love the Lord Jesus Christ, they're not going to love us. And this can cause us to be cast down. The enemies, the amount of enemies. And another thing I thought about was those that retreat from the way. How many people have you seen fervent for the Lord and now they're nowhere? We thought they were all lovely, they've been born again. They're fervent for the Lord. And yet the seed was sown amongst thistles. The seed was sown on stony ground. We thought they were Christians, but they're not Christians. And that can cause you to be down. The narrowness of the way. The dangers that we meet along the way. What did he meet? He met the slough of despond, almost sinking up to his neck. He had to go through the valley of humiliation. He had to climb the hill difficulty, where at the top of the hill was two lions. Yes, they were chained, but they could only come as far as the edge of the path, which meant he had to keep in the middle of the path. Otherwise the lions would get him. And the road that we're taking, is there's lions on the side of the road for us as well. We must keep on the straight way. That's why the psalmist says, Lord, show me your ways. Teach me your paths. And lead me into your truth. And then there was the arbor. I don't know if you've read Pilgrim's Progress, but remember the arbor? God had provided this lovely arbor for him to sit down and have a rest. And what did he do? He fell asleep. And what happened when he fell asleep? He lost his parchment. And he awoke up with a start and got on his way. And he was miles away, as it were, and he discovered he didn't have his parchment and he had to go back again. And he said the miles going back were worse than the worse going forward. And it's easy for us to have a rest, but fall asleep. I've done it myself. I tried to do it this afternoon. God had provided the chair. A nice reclining chair. And I went to lie down, I went to have a sleep. I didn't fall asleep. I'm glad about that. But I didn't read. And I didn't pray. And I didn't think. I just relaxed. And when you're relaxed in such a position as that, that's when the enemy can get in. So we've got to be watchful for that arbor. And then there's Bypass Meadow. Time is gone. Time is gone. What was the remedy? Let's just go on to the remedy just for 5 minutes. Verse 5, the remedy is hope. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted with me? Hope thou in God. The remedy, first and foremost, is to use your memory. What God has done in the past, hope in God. Verse 6 is to remember the past. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember, that's his memory, I'll remember thee from the land of Jordan. I'll remember thee from the past. That's why I chose the first hymn. Our God in ages past, our help in ages past, our help in times to come. It's to use the memory. Verse 8 is the promise. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto God of my life. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. There's the promise. And in verse 9, it talks about his position. I will say unto the God my rock. There's his position. He's on the rock. And Jesus says to Peter, when he says, who do people say that I am? And Peter says, you're the rock. You're the Christ. And Jesus says, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. What rock? Was it Peter's confession? No, when Peter came to the Lord Jesus Christ with his brother, Jesus changed his name from Peter, which talks about a stone. Peter is the stone. Christ is the rock. It was on that confession that Jesus is the Christ. That's the rock. And here was his position. He remembered that he's on a rock. You can be knocked down on the rock, my dear friends. You can be knocked down on the rock. But you can never be knocked off the rock. For our feet are firm in the Lord Jesus Christ. Memory. Fill your mind full of the Lord. Read and read and read again. And fill your memory full of it. Because you're going to need it. I'm going to need it. And then there's that faith. God uses what we've already got. And he uses what he's already got. We're here this evening because of the goodness of our God. He wants us to be here. He wants us to be a happy people. We were just talking about when we were at the doors, about the people walking up and down. And people in here, we could hear you laughing. I don't know what you were laughing about, but you were enjoying yourself. And there's nothing wrong with enjoying yourself. The church is here not to be like a funeral parlour, which is so often. The church is like a funeral parlour. The memory, we feed it by God's word. Faith, we are kept by God's word. I've tried today, my dear friends, to show you that your security is forever and ever. That you'll never be lost if you're trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. I've tried to show you that this morning. I've tried to encourage you. And tonight I've just been warning you that you can be cast down. But there's only one remedy, and that's to use your memory. Remember what God has done in the past. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday. Remember what God is doing now in my life. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today. And what he has promised to do for me in the future. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I've tried to encourage you. I've been encouraged. I've known all this. I've known it for years. But to read it again and to find out how much God loves me, it thrills my heart. I hope in some way I've thrilled your heart. Just reminding you that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Time is gone. Let's pray.